Happy Thursday. Now. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. You know the people involved here. That's John Lopez. I'm Reginald Atatula, Figgy Fig on the ones and twos. Not just the ones, both ones and
threes. Ones, twos, and threes.
Oh, there's threes involved over there?
Yeah, salute to Freddie Davis.
I didn't realize we had threes.
Salute
over
to
there
Fred
too.
Davis. He was the only one. The ones, twos, and threes.
We got threes over there. Look at us. Look at us. All right, you can get involved too. Easy way, 713-572-4610 is the number to text. Get involved. Let us know what you're feeling, what you're thinking with whatever we're talking about. And also appreciation to the Mo Karam Injury Lawyers live streams. Both on the YouTube page, Sports Radio 610, and on the Twitch chat, 610 Houston. Lopez, we have a 53-man roster.
We
got,
sure do.
For the most part, I think, unless something changes, I think we got a practice squad.
Mm-hmm.
We got a football team ready to go and play week one against the Los Angeles Rams there in SoFi Stadium in Inglewood. But before we get there, kind of looking at the league, looking at this team and how it's coming together, and ESPN put together a piece that got me thinking, because they had NFL seasons X factors for each of the 32 teams. And I was interested on what you might view as the X factor for this Texans team this year. 713-572-4610.
You want me to hit? Okay, so I've got two trains of thought here.
Let's hit them all.
X factor in terms of a player, a veteran, a guy that you know is going to be part of it, that maybe just plays at a different level, does, you know, impacts the team that much. And then I got the young guys. The young guy to me is easy, and that's Jalen Nowell. I mean, to me, that's easy.
You think he's the I typically and that's a good point. Like, X factor is one of those things in sports, one of those phrases that we bandy about, and sometimes we talk past each other because we never agree what it actually means.
Yeah.
And for me, I think I view it as, this is the factor that will determine a certain level of aptitude for your team. Mm-hmm. Like, depending on how they go, you could wring a lot more out of this team because of this player or this portion of the team or what have you. You said Jalen Nowell is a really interesting answer because he does seem to, like, he could possibly provide an explosive portion of your offense outside of the knowns, which are Nico Collins is a known.
See, and then I went to the knowns.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to me, I think it's an easy answer as well, because he changes everything. There's the X factor of if he's even, you know, what the impact is going to be participating, and that's C.J. Gardner-Johnson. I mean, to me, that's a layup.
You think he's an X factor? I think you mark him into, like, the
basics. How much is he
going
to play? How is he going to play? How long is he going to play? There's a lot of questions. So to me, that's the definition of X factor. Like, if we said C.J. Gardner-Johnson, starter, healthy all preseason, came from, we know he's won a Super Bowl, we know what he is, we know the options he gives this defense with Jalen Petrie and D'Amico Ryans being able to play around with the blitzes, we've talked about it, and coverages, etc. If he was like 100%, then it would be almost unexpected. To me, he's an X factor. I don't know how long that knee is going to, because, you know, it was something, it wasn't nothing. You know, he's sitting, I mean, well, he's on the 53, but we don't know what he's going to do, when he's going to be back, how long it's going to last. And if he is the old C.J. Gardner-Johnson, absolutely X factor.
I think we might be weighing a little too heavily the scare that happens during training camp. And not to say that should not be factored in at all. Like, clearly you can't just pretend like he did not have anything happen that was scary, that they had to go and do MRIs for, and that they had to ultimately see if all the structural integrity still remained.
Mm-hmm.
I think I hear you on, and I agree with kind of your trepidation when it comes to how long does that last? Is that a level of strain that then can be added onto by playing, I don't know, football?
But hell, is he going to be wearing a brace?
I think that all of those things, I think that he is such a great player. Mm-hmm. He is such a known commodity in what he gives you when he's on the field, that I'd lean more heavily into that portion of it, knowing that he is going to be relatively healthy early on in the season. With any of these players, how many games can you expect Kamari Lassiter to play?
Yeah, but there's already sort of a baseline of, you know, doubt.
But
you know?
I think I'd be willing to gamble, and you know, I say this as a non-gambling man, I'd be willing to gamble that he plays 13 games this year.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know if I could.
Really? So you have that much doubt?
No.
It's
wonder. It's curiosity, because, you know, anytime you talk knee and football, just those two words. You don't have to put them in context. Knee and football.
Especially with a change of direction position, like safety, where you're going to be planting and turning and generating power coming forward. Yeah, I hear you on that. I still am going to, I'm not going to do the what if on, yeah, he had this thing that maybe possibly weakens the integrity of his knee. I don't know that I can get to a place where I go, well, I can only expect him to play seven games and be
no,
at that
I don't
level
know what
impact.
To expect. Hence, X factor.
Yeah, I wouldn't go X factor there. Yeah. I think that I view him as a commodity that's known for as many games that he's plays, and I would easily gamble that he plays more than, what is it, 12, 13 games is 3/4 of the season, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I would gamble that he is in that place, and so I would, I mean, for any player, if they play 3/4 of the season, they're damn near there for the whole season in my mind. That's where the way I look at that. If I'm going X factor, I like the first answer that you gave a lot more in Jalen Knoll because of, you know, the ways in which you were looking for explosive elements on this offense. I think we have profiled this offense as probably being more of a, you know, incremental offense rather than an offense that has many opportunities for big explosive plays. That preseason game two was so interesting. Was it game two or was it game three, actually? It was game three, getting the ball out there, letting, or was that even one? I'm mixing them all up now. But seeing Jalen Knoll take a screen and, like, get upfield and create big yards with it, I think that those are the things that we look at for possible explosion, at least early on with this offense. Getting the ball to playmakers, still quick, still, you know, with that, you know, that tempo, but then those guys then going and making plays. We know Nico Collins can do it. I think that having another guy like Jalen Knoll could be a huge, huge factor of what happens with taking this offense to a different place. Because one of the things we've talked about with this offense, who is going to force defenses to take their attention away from Nico Collins? And I think that Jalen Knoll, just with things like that, he profiles as a guy that could be in that space for you.
Well, and I would argue the exact same thing with C.J. Gardner-Johnson. And I'm not to harp on it and belabor it, but my thing is, I obviously we're all hopeful he plays 13, 14, hell, all 17 games. I just, it's, we've been in this game long enough to know there's a knee problem. No matter the level of that problem, they're going to take extra precautions. You know, they might, you know, limit snaps. It might, you know, it's certainly been affected, you know, at some point, at some level. It might, you know, be another problem. To me, that's X factor, but we'll set that aside. Texter said that it's not even close. It's Nick Chubb. I disagree because I think Nick Chubb has kind of proven already. He's been healthy, showed a little explosion at the end of the preseason, clearly has run for positive yards. They have a lot of – I think it's whoever's behind Nick Chubb.
That's an interesting
thought. I think it's the next guy, whether it's Woody Marks or Damian Pierce or someone else. It could be Dare.
Yeah, ESPN, obviously, who wrote this piece they did one for, and they named an X factor for every team. And the X factor that they named for your Houston Texans is indeed in line with those texts that have come in. It is Nick Chubb that they put in here saying that there are too many X factors for this Texans team, in fact. And we haven't talked about some of the offensive line is one of those places that clearly is a huge X factor. And we'll talk about that here in a second. But last time we saw a healthy Nick Chubb, 1,525 yards, 2022, right? I've been very loud about my feeling that I don't think that that's a reasonable expectation for Nick Chubb. But if I allow myself to dream in the ways that I think people were when he was first signed or when we first learned of his signing to this Texans team, that is kind of incredible, especially as we get more doubt or questions as to when Joe Mixon shows back up for this team. If Nick Chubb finds any facsimile of that previous version of Nick Chubb, which, again, we haven't seen yet, but who's to say that he's not just ultimate gamer and showing us that once we get to regular season and once we get to those opportunities, if you have that, that is huge for what this team can do, especially a team that is going to be leaning on their ability to run the football.
When is Joe Mixon coming back? What'd they say yesterday, Figgy?
Hey, you don't want to get D'Amico pissed off, man.
That would clarify things, wouldn't it?
Hey, why do you guys care? Why do you guys care about that?
We should have some clarity on that, don't we? No. Okay, but
you made people care too much.
I don't want
that's his business.
I don't want to keep hitting this, but I do wonder from
that's
D'Amico.
You just brought it up, like, hey, if Joe Mixon comes back, and I'm like,
that's
hey,
his
when
business.
Is that? Well, when is that?
Why are you guys focused
when,
on that?
When might it be? When
the other players on the team.
My hands are clean on this one.
I know. I'm the one who's doing this to myself. I will take the responsibility here. The sincere question I ask myself is, I have already derailed myself, but that's how my brain is working in this moment. How do we prove that we care about these players when we're talking about them in D'Amico's mind? Because, look, I think it's a genuine, a very, very genuine place that D'Amico comes from, talking about I care about these players, and it feels like people don't care about them when they're talking about them with these injuries. How do I prove that I care about them when I'm talking about this while also trying to, you know, find the different corners of the conversation on mm-hmm. what is possible with these players and what it means for the Texans?
I feel like these media people here, like I'm talking to, no, I'm being for real.
Yeah.
The people that are at the press conference, I feel like they do care. Because
they absolutely do.
Because they know, because sometimes I know a lot of people complain about why they ain't ask them this, why they ain't ask them. Sometimes they ask them something and then they kind of feel the energy and they step back a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Man, you ain't gonna get that nowhere else, man.
Look, we don't have to harp on this, but there are so many levels to this that are just bizarre. And first of all, the answer that he gave was pure deflection. It became a conversation about everything except Joe Mixon. It was a conversation about the media. It was a conversation about do they care? It was a conversation about who wants it first, journalism, etc. It was everything but Joe Mixon. So to give them credit, the strategy worked. Because they're not talking about Joe Mixon. They made the discussion about something else. And that's what irritates me. Because, hey, you win. You won. You know, you didn't have to say anything about this or that. Nobody's asking Joe Mixon. Nobody's asking, all these other things. And the whole thing about, find the facts. This is a press conference. That's what we're trying to do. Like seriously,
And nobody's getting it first in a press conference setting. Exactly. We're all getting it at the same time.
You know how I feel about D'Amico Ryans. Hell, about this organization. Cal and Hannah, I love them.
And they've given us a lot of great reasons to feel that way.
But come on, man. This race to get it first and nothing happens. Nothing happens. Maybe it's a testament to where the media is today as an industry, but the responsible, legitimate outlets, you get fired. You get suspended.
Do it seem like, I ain't trying to look at people's jobs. Do it seem like these people are trying to, get it first?
I mean, yes, like, to a degree.
Because it seemed like people used to try to get it first. They used to go through way more hoops.
Well, no, I think they do, and I think there have been some errors, and as Seth and Sean were pointing out, I totally agree.
I think you was telling me about somebody hiding in the Bobbinaire's bushes trying to get some information on something. Yes. I think it was John McClain said that.
Yeah. No. It's that part is true, but you have to also talk about the outlet. Is it just some part timer working for a TV station or something that is trying to elevate himself and doesn't have the responsibility that others have or whatever? And I'm on a tangent here, but it did bother me that part. Forget the Mixon discussion. Like, wait a minute, you're blaming things that are not supposed to be blamed here. You're talking about things that the question was not about.
It seemed like he was talking about somebody else, a different situation.
Yes.
This don't seem like it was a Joe Mixon situation. Yeah. Because I don't think nobody said anything crazy about Joe Mixon jumped out the window real quick on an mm-hmm. injury.
I think there's also just tired of answering,
right.
being asked the question, because obviously the question is not being answered because they don't want to. They want to keep that information in house.
But it is funny.
Which is what they
will do. I just wish you guys would get the facts. That's why we're here.
That's right. How do you feel about Arianti Ursary as X Factor? Because this is a blindside protector for CJ Stroud. And I mean, this is a rookie in any time that you start a rookie. And I know like the NFL first round picks or, kind of pseudo first round picks are going to be in that place where we expect them to come in and start. But anytime mm-hmm. you start a rookie, that's a huge learning curve. It's a steep learning curve. And at the offensive line, a place of great need for this team, it's going to matter a great deal.
I think there's a couple on the offensive line. Yes, on Ursary and Jake Andrews. We know who the offense is going to run through.
As a man who's going to be helping set protections. Yeah. And, that was, communications mm-hmm. and making sure that you're in the right protections was a big part of this offensive line. I think that's a good answer if you throw that in there.
Mm-hmm.
That's absolutely. The X factors that we're looking at for this season.
Just out of curiosity, rest of the division, who are the X factors? I'm guessing Cam Ward for the Titans.
Titans, actually, they go with L'Jarius Sneed, cornerback. Mm. Cam Ward, what seems like it'd be an easy one just because, again, rookie playing in the NFL and especially at a position that has probably the highest learning curve or steepest learning curve as quarterback. But, obviously he comes in with a lot of versatility for L'Jarius Sneed. He's coming off of an injury, so that's also a portion that's different for them, but to help make their defense a significantly better unit, which is going to be something that's necessary to complement a rookie quarterback. Let's see, for the Indianapolis Colts, they go with their center, Bartolini. Obviously, Ryan Kelly, not the starting center for the first time since 2016. So, again, some of the things we're talking about with Jake Andrews, how important a center is to making sure that your O-line operation goes smoothly, is going to be a portion of that. And, you know, obviously with your quarterback situation there as well, you want to make sure that that's straight. And then Jacksonville Jaguars is also an offensive lineman they go with, Anton Harrison.
Okay.
Again, I imagine that that's an easy place to talk about. But yeah, high hopes for the Jaguars offense. Make sure your offensive line goes well. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Just getting going on a Thursday. Coming up next, Good Fromber did show back up. All right, so maybe we were doing too much hand-wringing, and he wasn't the only one. Which way is the wind blowing for you today when it comes to talking about this Astros team? How are you feeling? Let's talk about it next.